Well, as we prepare to hear God's word, just ask Him to speak to our hearts. Let's pray one more time. Living God, we are so thankful for Your love for us, the preciousness of this moment that You've given us this Easter Sunday, reminded again of Your presence and Your love and Your goodness. We ask that through the living word, You would speak to our hearts that Jesus might be glorified. And we pray it in His name. Amen. Cyril Jode, who lived from 1891 to 1953, was one of the best-known British intellectuals of his day. He popularized philosophy through his many books and through the radio and sometimes on television. But he was asked something interesting. He was once asked, if you could ask one question and be sure of getting the right answer, what would it be? Without a moment's hesitation, he replied, did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? Good question, and that's the answer we need to know. That indeed is the question of all questions. Now, Jode eventually concluded that Christ had risen from the dead and had defeated death, and he renounced his agnosticism that he lived in for so long. He embraced Christianity, which he detailed in his book, The Recovery of Belief. And I do not hesitate this morning to say that there's most likely some here today, you need a recovery of belief, a reawakening of your heart to that question of all questions answered, that Jesus lives. And it is the question that changes everything. To say that Christ died on the cross for our sins, that's one thing, and that's true, and that's God's grace to us. But it was only verified, and we can only have an assurance that Christ died for our sins, and that it was a sufficient sacrifice for our sins through the resurrection. Grace verified with an empty tomb. The resurrection of Christ is the one element also that makes Christianity totally different from every other religion. Every other religion, you know, has a founding father. You can name that founding father. And many of them have a grave where you can go to see where that founding father is buried. Only Christianity says that our founder is alive. And we point to an empty tomb. Now, speaking of various religions, the Apostle Paul, who had his own life changed with an encounter with the resurrection, with the resurrected Lord, was preaching in Athens, Greece in 52 AD, or around that time. And he is preaching to people of many different faiths, and they had many different gods. They had their understanding of life and death and morality. And he is boldly proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. But he also speaks kind of a summation of what God has done throughout world history. And he summarizes God's story in this great sermon that's recorded in Acts chapter 17. He's basically given a discourse on the true knowledge of God. And I want us to hear just some basic points that he gives in this message to those who had never heard of the good news before, of the gospel before. Well, he begins this way. He starts with God as a creator and Lord of the universe. Look at verse 24. This is Acts 17, 24. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't live in man-made temples. Of course, many people that were listening to Him, they had these temples for their gods. And human hands can't serve His needs, as they believe, for He has no needs. There's the beginning. He made the world and everything in it. He is Lord of heaven and earth. The world is not an accident. God is the creator of all things in general. He's the creator of humanity in particular. And even more specifically, your creator and sustainer. For he says in verse 25, He himself, God, gives life and breath to everything. See, God is a life giver. He knows life, physical and spiritual. And of course, as we see here in verse 25, breath is essential, an essential sign of life. He gives life and breath. You go back to Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living being. So here's God, presented by Paul in Athens so long ago, as a good, life-giving creator. But here's the question that we must ask. Then why is the world the way it is? What explains our grief and our sorrow? What explains our problems and our constant difficulties? Or what explains death and disease? Well, God did create human beings in His image. I was made in the image of God, but I also was born with two diseases, one physical and one spiritual. I grew up the first 14 or 15 years of my life with chronic asthma. You never forget that. It's an inflammatory disease of the lungs. Basically, it blocks the air passage, airflow obstruction in the lungs. The best way I can say is it's the sensation that you're smothering. And it affected my life. It affected everything about my life. My sleep, for most attacks come at night and it wakes you up. Sports, it affected my sports. Y'all, there's no telling how great an athlete I would have been if it wasn't for asthma. It affected just some basic functions of my life. It smothered me in so many ways. And I went to the hospital so many times, I can't even remember how many times it put me there. But I was also born with a spiritual disease, sin. Now, some of you here, you were born with something physically as well. I don't know. We could all kind of talk about our ailments or our difficulties. But every single one of us can say, you may not have been born with asthma, but you were born with sin, just like me. We all have this spiritual disease. What is it? Well, it's kind of a bent. It's a defiance of the Creator. It's turning inward. It's going our own way. It's not glorifying Him. It's not loving Him. It's not obeying Him. And we have not fulfilled our vocation as the image bearers of God, and that is sin. In a sense, we have dethroned God and enthroned ourselves. And sin affects life. May I say, it smothers life. It takes out the purity of life or the holy air to breathe. And it affects us. It costs us dearly. It has cost all of us dearly. It costs us, really, the life that God wants us to live. It smothers us. But the sermon goes on. Verses 26 and 27, he continues his thoughts on creation. For from one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He determined their boundaries and dwelling place. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. Despite all that man has done and continues to do, God has a plan. That's what we're told here. God is in control. He set boundaries, is the word. His grace and wisdom have guided us to this moment, have guided history. And when human beings continue to fail to be the image bearers of God, to bear God's image of love and goodness in the world, you know what God did? He chose a man named Abraham. And through that man, He made a covenant family. And through that covenant family, He made a nation. And that nation was to be a light to the world, and they failed miserably. But ultimately, what that nation was to give birth to was a Messiah, through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That's God's story. That's the Old Testament. That's what the prophets spoke about. They promised the Messiah was coming, and the New Testament bears witness to this Messiah and Lord Jesus. But these words are also personal, not just the nations. We shouldn't just hear it that way. This verse is personal too, because we are in this story. I was born in Pascagoula, Mississippi, in the 20th century. Some here, you were born in the 21st century. Different years, different dates, boundaries, seasons, times, according to His plan. And all of us are here this morning according to this great plan of God. And why are we here? Well, Paul says, all of you, he's preaching this to them and to us today, that we might feel toward God, that we might know God, though He is not far from any of us. But the problem is, our antennas have been damaged. Our spiritual receptors have been damaged. And that's called the fall. And so we don't worship Him as we should. We don't know Him as we should. And sin has produced false religion. And that's what Paul is, he's preaching to people who worship all kinds of gods in this scripture. Ignorance and uncertainty. But then he goes to verses 30 and 31. What is the remedy? How can we come close? He says, now He commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to Him. For He has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man He has appointed. And He proved it to everyone by raising Him from the dead. See, God is a Savior too. Here into the story, God's love comes to us in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Yes, our sin leads to judgment, but God has acted to save. That's the message of Paul. And that's the message of the cross. The eternal Son of God, He died as all humans do. Yet He died a unique death because He died as no other person could for the sins of the world and in our place. He is a crucified Savior and a risen Lord. This is the message. This is God's broad story that we're caught up in. Creation and providence, humanity's fall and the anguish and the death and disease that comes with that. Christ's suffering and death on our behalf as an act of divine love and salvation. His resurrection proving God's power to give hope and eternal life. Our repentance and trust toward God and in His love through Jesus Christ's redemption. This is the age-old story. You see, friends, we don't need to hear something new today. We need to be made new. The newness of forgiveness, of a new direction, of a new start, which is what Jesus, the resurrected Lord, offers us. Well, how did they respond to this message? Verses 32 and 33. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more about this later. But some joined him and became believers. Some mocked. Some said, let me think about this a little more. But some believed. Well, I want you to hear some believers as they tell a brief portion this morning of their story of God's grace and Christ's work in their life. All is a part of God's great grace